As we go through the service this evening, you'll find that all the hymns are printed in the bulletin, so you shouldn't need your hymnal or any other resources. You're welcome to stand or sit for the hymns as you like, so I'm not going to announce "Let's rise for the hymns." I'll just let you do whichever comes naturally to you. I appreciate especially the fact that you took time out of your busy holiday plans and programs to share with us this evening on such a cold and bitter evening. Tomorrow we're going to be singing the hymn at the end of the service in the bleak midwinter, and that's certainly a fitting hymn for this year, at least. Welcome to our Christmas Eve service. We're here to celebrate the birth of Jesus, Yeshua, whom we call HaMashiach, the Messiah, or the Christ. I hope you all have your Christmas shopping done, because Walmart was closing when I came down the highway. I hope that any gifts you have ordered have arrived in time for tomorrow and are already wrapped. You know, God gives gifts at Christmas just like we do, and those gifts are all around us. Some are wrapped in surprising packages that don't look like gifts. I keep telling myself that somehow or other the flu that I caught on my birthday was a gift of some sort. I'm not sure what kind or how it works as a gift, but I know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Other gifts that he gives us are in plain view, unwrapped, ready to be enjoyed. Some are hidden and must be sought after. Some are hiding in plain sight, easy to see, but often overlooked. Tonight, I'm going to talk about four gifts in particular that God gave us at Christmas. Gifts that the choir sang about before the service. For the past 2 weeks, these gifts have been hanging in plain view. But I wonder how many of you noticed them. Here they are, stretched across our nativity scene. A candle, an angel, of course a nativity scene, and a woodland scene with deer. You may be wondering, what do these gifts have to do with Christmas? We're going to find out. But first, to get us in the giving mood and to open our eyes to the gifts that God has given us, let us ourselves offer a gift to him by singing about the coming of the greatest gift of all, the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ. So let's sing together, O come, all ye faithful.
Oh,
What have we come to celebrate this night? All of our attention seems to be on a stable where a young mother is about to give birth. A stable is a dismal place for a birth, and the parents are miles away from their home in Nazareth. A few months earlier, when the woman's husband had just discovered that his bride-to-be was expecting, all his hopes of a happy future suddenly turned dim. But then God entered into his disappointment to tell him that this was no normal circumstance, and a greater hope was about to be born. Hope not only for him and his bride, but hope for us as well. Let's hear Matthew tell us about it from Matthew's Gospel.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ happened this way. While his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband-to-be, was a righteous man, and because he did not want to disgrace her, he intended to divorce her privately. When he had contemplated this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary for your wife, because the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." This all happened so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. "Look, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did what the angel of the Lord told him. He took his wife, but did not know her until she gave birth to a son, whom he named Jesus.
Hope. Hope beyond hope. A faithful wife after all. And a child whose birth signals the fulfillment of ages of hope. Hope in the midst of darkness. Which brings us to our first gift from God, represented here by the candle. The candle seems to be a universal symbol of hope, bringing light to hearts darkened by fear and disappointment. We see lots of candles at this time of year, maybe because this is a dark time of year. Maybe because some of us have had power outages because of the high winds. Even the days can be dreary, and candles have a way of brightening dreary days, especially if they carry a light scent of some pleasant memories. You know the saying, better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. Well, sometimes the darkness must be cursed, but that can be depressing if we don't have something better to hope for. And hope is what the candle breathes to me. Hope of brighter days, warmer times, peaceful moments. And hope is the first of God's gifts to us this Christmas. The hope of a promise given long ago that maybe, just maybe, is about to be fulfilled. Like the soft light of a candle, hope often begins with a faint desire, a longing for something better. But as the candle burns and its scent fills the room, so hope spreads to the heart and banishes sadness and despair. The choir's first anthem spoke of this hope in these words, "Hark, a voice from yonder manger. Soft and sweet, it doth entreat, flee from woe and danger. Brethren, come, from all that grieves you, you are freed. All you need, I will surely give you." Dare we hope? All we need to be found in this child and in the man this child would become? Yes, hope. Hope that we might have fellowship with a God who loves us and has found a way to have fellowship with us in spite of our sin. Through this child and the man he would become, through his life, through his death, and through his rising again. Because in the coming of this child, God himself was coming to us. Let's celebrate that idea and that coming by singing together the hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. Every year people wonder, why do we sing Christmas songs that talk about Israel? After all, we're Christians, we're not Jews. And what promise does Jesus' birth have for Israel? In fact, some people think that the church has taken the place of Israel and God has no more place for her. But we've been learning over the past few weeks as we study the minor prophets that God's plan for us will not be complete until his plan for Israel is fulfilled. And if there's anyone who has the right to enjoy the next gift that we're going to be talking about, it's the nation of Israel, as we reflect on how much hatred and bitterness has been poured out on that nation ever since the days of Abraham. Why? Why does the world hate this nation? The world hates this nation because Satan hates this nation. Because God has made promises to her, and he intends to keep those promises. And Satan will do anything he can to keep those promises from coming true. But our next gift tells us that God will have the last word. We're not the only ones to come to this stable to see this child who has just been born. Many visitors would marvel at his birth and what it means. Some, like King Herod, would see only a rival for their thirst for power and self-will, and would react in fear, trying to stifle that life out before it even begins. Others would simply see a child and no more, and walk away confused at the strange circumstances of his birth. But those who knew what to look for would respond in the only way appropriate, with joy. The angels knew what this birth meant, because this child used to walk the halls of heaven. And so, as our second ornament shows, when the angel came to earth to announce his birth to the shepherds outside of Jerusalem, the angel spoke of the joy that this birth would bring for those who understood and accepted this gift that God was offering, a gift that brings joy to our hearts as we see God offering his very self to us. Some shepherds from a nearby field knew what to look for and where to look and how to respond because God told them. He sent them a messenger to invite them to come and see for themselves. Let's listen now as Patrick tells us about their visit from the Gospel of Luke.
Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus to register all the empire for taxes. So Joseph went up to the city of David, called Bethlehem, to be registered with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the house. And there were shepherds nearby living out in the field, keeping guard over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were absolutely terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a vast heavenly army appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased."
Did you hear what the angel said? Don't be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. Just as hope dispels sadness, so joy can cancel out fear. And so we have the second gift that God has given us this Christmas, the second of our four ornaments, the angel announcing the good news of great joy. The choir sang about it in a song that echoed to the heavens. "Awake with joy, great be our joy, Come, share our joy. Joy, joy, joy. Praise ye the Lord on high with joy. 40 times in the space of 2.5 minutes, the choir shouted and echoed that word, joy. And the word echoes still today amidst the broken dreams of this life and the fears of what a new year might bring. The new year will come and go, and with it days both good and bad. But thanks to Christmas, we've been given a joy that will only grow stronger as the days of its fulfillment draw ever nearer. For the joy is not over. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to set up his kingdom, to rule over his people Israel, and with them over the world. And it will be a time of great joy. So let us echo the message of the angels to the shepherds as we sing, Angels We Have Heard on High. Have been dared to hope in the midst of darkness and to respond to fear with joy. But still we might wonder why the birth of this baby can offer such powerful gifts. What is so unique about this night that by celebrating it we can receive such powerful gifts as hope and joy? Who is this child? What does he offer that we can't find anywhere else? We find the answer to that question in one word: love. But not just any love. A love made greater because of the one who is loving, and made more profound because of the ones he has chosen to love. Let's listen as John tells us about it in Jesus' own words, the kind of love that this night represents.
No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God.
This baby, whose birth we celebrate, did not come in the usual way. He came from heaven itself, and it was love that sent him, the love of a holy God for his wounded children, the love of a Savior for his kindred. And so we have our next gift that God has given us this Christmas. Love comes in many forms, sometimes in strange disguises. And what could be more strange than a hay-filled manger as a crib and a stable as a birthing stool? And so our third ornament portrays the scene. Mary and Joseph, the baby Jesus lying in the manger. The great love of God coming down from heaven to earth in the lowliest of places, in the most unexpected of ways. The choir sang of that love in its third anthem when they said, "I know you came to rescue me. This baby boy who'd grow to be a man, who'd one day die for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too." Somehow I don't think Jesus was singing hallelujah on the cross, but I do know that his every breath was love. Let's sing about that love with one of the oldest hymns that the church has used to celebrate this day, "Of the Father's Love Begotten."
Source.
extol our God and King. Let no tongue on earth be silent. Every voice in concert ring, evermore and evermore. Christ to thee with God the Father, and the Holy Ghost to thee. Dimension and high thanksgiving, and unweary praises me. Honor, glory, and dominion, and eternal victory, evermore and evermore. Hope, joy, love. What more could God offer us this Christmas? And yet there is one more gift he seeks to give us. A gift that all too often is lost in the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season. As we try so hard to recapture what we consider to be the magic of this magical season, God quietly offers one last gift that puts all the other gifts in perspective. The gift of peace. Isaiah speaks of a prince of peace whose coming would change even nature itself. As lions would eat straw like the ox, nations would no longer go to war. Oh, this year, as we contemplate the Christmas they're having in Ukraine, can we even dare to hope a time will come when nation will not war against nation? And so our fourth ornament depicts a peaceful scene where even nature itself is at peace. All of nature breathing a sigh of peace, a gift that often seems missing at this time of year. For the expectations of this season often leave us agitated and unfulfilled. And past hurts and faded dreams fill us with confusion and conflict. But what we, with all of our efforts and plans, so often fail to create, God offers us freely through the peace we gain with him, through the man that this child would become. And when the heart is at peace, all other gifts, love, joy, hope, find their proper place. Let's listen as Corey tells us of the peace that can be ours through Jesus, whose birth we celebrate this night.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them a light is shown. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of this burden and the staff of this shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fire for the fuel. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Did you catch that? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will see that this is accomplished. And so we open the last of the four gifts we celebrate this Christmas. The gift of peace. A peace that will settle over all creation as God removes the curse imposed by our self-will in a garden long ago. The choir sang of it in its quiet finale when they sang, "Peace, peace, peace." He comes to bring us peace. Our God has left his throne on high to journey to the cross to die. Peace, peace, peace. He comes to bring us peace. A fitting end to the opening of God's gifts and to the song that sang of it. Still the child lays in the straw. Still we wonder who he is, this child, who offers us such precious gifts. Still, after 2,000 years, his birth still arouses hope in us. His life inspires us with joy. His death demonstrates his love. His resurrection breathes a promise of a coming peace that passes all understanding. The angels have been singing of that peace since the day Jesus was born. So let's join in on the song as we sing together. Hark the herald angels sing. Please be seated. God has given us so much. What can we give him in return? You know how it feels. Someone gives you a gift. All of a sudden you say to yourself, "Ooh, I forgot to get them a present. What can I get them quick?" We try to think of something really appropriate that make it look as though we put a lot of thought in, a lot of time into it. Because receiving a gift just makes you feel like giving a gift. But what do you give the person who has everything. Literally, everything. What does God need from us? What do we have that could possibly be considered a gift to Him? There is only one proper gift. The gift of gratitude as we offer ourselves in service to Him. A service like the giver himself is meant to flow through us to those around us in lives of service to the same people that God offered His gifts to. Some will receive those gifts, some will reject them. But after all, gifts are meant to be given, and gifts given are meant to be put to use. We learn this from the baby's mother, Mary, who was given the gift and the privilege of bearing this child for 9 months, and with Joseph, her husband, raising him to adulthood. What gift did Mary give back to God for the privilege He was offering her? Do you remember what Mary said to the angel Gabriel when he told her what God was planning to do through her? Luke chapter 1, verse 38 tells us, Mary said, "Okay, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." "I'm the servant of the Lord," she said. "And I am the servant of the Lord. I dare not call myself His friend. It's hard for me even to call myself His son, His servant. That's enough for now. I'm a servant of the Lord. So are you. And the gifts He gives us, He means for us to give to one another. Spread hope to those who are despairing. Give joy to those who are sad. Show love to those who feel alone and neglected. Give peace to those who are battered by this world. Oh, Heavenly Father, if only I could do those things." To help us in giving these gifts to one another, He offers His own life as an example and as a beacon to light our way. He offers reminders of His forgiveness. He offers us the meal of fellowship, the sharing of His body and His blood. In this communion meal we're about to share, Jesus announces the forgiveness that He came to make possible at the cost of His own body and blood. We are not worthy of any of these gifts, hope, joy, love, peace, much less the gift of bread and wine. And yet God so freely offers them to us. Have you ever offered a gift to someone who felt unworthy to receive it? And you tried everything you could think of just to tell them, "It's a gift. It's yours. Take it." God knows we don't deserve these gifts, but He chooses to give them anyway. So let's prepare our hearts to receive the gifts, even as we prepare our bodies to receive the fruit of the field and the fruit of the vine. Let's share together the prayer of confession found in the bulletin. Most merciful God, we confess that we cannot free ourselves from the sin that entangles us. We have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. For his sake and in keeping with his promise, God forgives the sins of those who confess. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. So let us declare this faith in Jesus using the words of the Apostles' Creed as printed in the bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took the bread. He blessed it and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This bread is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Will the communion ushers please come forward for the distribution? Body of Christ, given for you.
Drink this cup, each of you, for this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Please arise. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, you gave your Son as both a sacrifice for sin and as a model of the godly life. Enable us to delight in his presence within us through your Spirit. And through that same Spirit, help us to live lives worthy of the gospel. In Jesus' precious name, amen. At this time, as you remain standing, I would like to ask Tammy and Matthew to come forward that they may begin lighting candles. As they bring the light to the end of each pew, please tilt the unlit candle into the flame of the lit candle, and then pass it to the person next to you. Just as Jesus, by his birth, brought light into the darkness of this world, so we commemorate his gift of light with the lighting of our candles. As the light comes to you, hear the words of the evangelist John as he describes the birth of Christ in this way. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Let us sing together the hymn, Silent Night.
Oh.
pray. Father in heaven, on this night so long ago, as people went about their business and the world turned from night to day to night again, you quietly offered to us the most precious gift that has ever been given to a people most unworthy of your grace. And still the gift is offered to all who long to know you, to embrace you, to be embraced by you. There were people that day who received that gift. There were others who neglected the gift for many years. But then one day the gift of faith was given to them, and they were able to see what you were doing through this man, Jesus. And we ourselves would not believe were it not for the gift of faith that receives him. We long for the light of your Spirit to fill us and to flow from us, as Jesus said it would, to ease the thirst of our fellow travelers. Make us worthy, by the sacrifice of your Son, to receive the gifts you offer us this night. Hope, joy, love, peace. And by your Spirit, help us to share those gifts with the people you bring into our lives. May these gifts bring the light of the gospel to a world lost in darkness. Thank you for the gift that is Jesus Christ, and for the gifts you make us to be as we live our lives for you in the places where you have placed us. In his precious name we pray. Amen. The light has come. The darkness has been overcome and will one day end forever. So let us add our voices to the angel's song as we close our service with the hymn, Joy to the World. Gracious to you.
Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen, and Merry Christmas.